Well, good afternoon, brethren.
Glad to
see all of you. Hope you had a good week. Certainly, we've had some nice weather the last few days, and it's been warming up somewhat, so God provided us with another beautiful Sabbath. One thing I was just on my mind to mention, I've said it before, but it bears repeating over and over again. I hope we never, never, ever become discouraged because of the amount of people that we don't see. So I'd like to see more people here, but you know, the good news is God keeps a record. And so this church, but I hope those that are faithful and continue to come, God makes a record of this. And, you know, there is a scripture that says that. So he knows what's going on. So I just urge everybody that can to continue to fulfill the command of the Sabbath as much as you possibly can. God doesn't forget. God will bless you for that. I receive weekly copies of prayer requests from the brethren around the world who request prayer concerning their health and other issues. And my wife makes get-well cards, mail back to those brethren to let them know that the church is praying for them on behalf of their situation. And as you remember, when we were across the street, we signed cards on the Sabbath, mailed them in to the brethren. Since the COVID-19 situation has come about, we don't do that anymore. That's because of too many hands handling the paperwork. Thought it wouldn't be safe. But it doesn't keep us from praying for people. Now you may ask, how can we pray for those we don't have a name or know what their situation is? And that's a good question. But what we need to do is pray in general. And we'll explain about this as we go through the sermon today. Sermon title for today is How Should We Pray? My purpose is to show you ways that will bring results and build your faith in God. As a church and as a people that has been called out of the dying world, hate and confusion, we must, as never before, brethren, draw close to God. We can do this through the effectiveness of our prayers. I was somewhat moved last Sabbath when Mr. Scott mentioned the urgency of the Greensboro Church and other congregations, I'm sure he had in mind, about praying. People don't say a whole lot about that anymore openly, but I thought this was a good statement that he made to more or less wake us up to our duties, what we're supposed to do. The conditions of this world and our communities and everything, I hope that people are aware what's happening in this world. and the things that are going on, and just how far that people are falling away from doing the things that they're supposed to do. And the news media is just filled with all kinds of chaotic type situations that you wouldn't believe that is happening in our world today. As you know, we have at this time a nation that is divided. And it's sad to see, but, you know, God's people has been called out of the world, and we have a responsibility toward God and to those that's around us to let our light shine. The Asheboro Courier Tribune had an article in there this past week, and the title of it was Spreading Hate. And what they were talking about was all the hatred that has increased in the counties and in the state as well as the world. And there's a lot of hate going on where people just, and you've seen it on the news, these little gangs that wants to have recognition, to just drive by and shoot people. You had a situation up here in High Point where people was at a funeral. And the last rites that you can give your loved one, and somebody decides to come by and shoot up the place. So what do we do? What do we do with ourselves in a situation like this? Well, brethren, what we need to do is pray. That's our weapon. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Start in reading in verse 7. And this is a statement from Christ, of course. He said, "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. They think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Just in your notes there, circle the word will, because we're going to come back to that. Will is an important thing in our prayers. The purpose of our prayers, brethren, is not to get the things from God, but to give access to Him so that we can be in His presence and be conformed to His will. The purpose of our prayers is not to change God's will, but to urge Him to accomplish this will in His own time and manner. Our prayers are primary means that God has set up for you and I to communicate the blessings of His goodness to us. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we will read verses 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." First of all, we should honor God in our prayers. We must recognize Him for His greatness. He is the high and lofty one. who inhabits eternity, and the great Almighty Creator, Father, Provider, the Healer, Savior of all mankind. Prayer glorifies God because He loves us and glad to hear from us. When we pray, we are showing our dependency on Him. Prayer is an exercise in faith which always glorifies God. Prayer is worshiping God. When we pray, we are posturing ourselves before God, calling upon His great name, recognize His power and His omnipotence. The good news about praying before God is this. We can pray, wherever we are, to God 24/7, 365 days, without anyone knowing when we pray, or what we said. Our conversation with God can be in silent. It can be secret. It can be private. God intends prayer to be a communication with Him, to develop a wonderful relationship through the acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. That you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Do we realize through prayer, through Bible study, attending Sabbath services, we are in the presence of God? In His presence, in His joy evermore. Not discouragement, not despair, not despondency, not guilt, but joy. So our prayers is a spiritual blessing God gives to us as a major tool for growth. Though we may not always count it as a blessing, God knows every thought, every desire, every emotion, everything we have in need of. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Reading verses 13 through 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So as the saying goes, brethren, we may as well come clean with God. We can't hide things. God knows the deepest intents of our hearts. He sees the tender feelings we have toward the condition of others and our desires to help. He notes our practice. He notes our patience that we have, forbearance, and true outgoing concern we have for the brethren in the church. He knows the deep love for those who have requested our prayers for their healing. God is well aware of our attitude, and we are approaching His throne in prayer. He discerns whether or not we are in a hurry and we are praying before Him, whether we're just going through the motions or not. He knows what we are going through in our lives all the time. When we pray, God knows if we are harboring grudges, doubt, malice, lust, impatience, lack of faith. God knows all of these things. The lack of faith is a sign of a weak prayer life. And Christ pointed this out. He was admonishing His disciples. Let's notice this. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is coming about whenever the Christ and His disciples came back from a gathering on the mountain. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, we'll begin reading there. Matthew 17, verse 14, and when they had come to the multitude, the man came to him kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast him out? You know, they were concerned. Thought, well, you know, we have been following Christ around all this time and doing a lot of things and miracles and all, but why couldn't we cast this demon out? So Christ gives them the answer here in verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The point here, have two points to look at. Point here, number one, is that prayer, fasting, brings us closer to God. And this is one of the things that is important for us to have a close relationship toward God. We have here a short story of a man and his son, and the father brought the son to the disciples to be healed. They could not do that, so he turned to Jesus for help. So this same situation happened that in the book of Luke. Luke's gospel reports this same situation. Let's turn over to Luke number 9, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Again, reading in verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up into the mountain to pray. Transfiguration took place. There, of course, Moses and Elijah. You can read the rest of the account about what took place there. Let's go back, let's drop down now to verse 37, Luke chapter 9, verse 37. And it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a multitude met them. Same story here that we saw in Matthew. And suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look, my son, for he is my only child. And behold, his spirit seized him and suddenly cries out, it convulsing him, and that he foams at the mouth and bruises him. It departs from him with great difficulty. So I implored your disciples to cast it out. They could not." And it's just a repeat of the disciples not being able to cure this young man. Main message here is when we pray, brethren, we must have faith. This is this thing that the disciples didn't have the faith. Have faith, and we must have patience. Those two things go hand in hand. Faith, that we should have patience and faith whenever we pray. This was the problem with the disciples. They did not have the faith that was needed to cast out the demon. So Christ pointed this out to them. If only they had the faith of a mustard seed. Now, does a mustard seed have faith? No, it does not. So what was Jesus talking about when he used the analogy here of a mustard seed? Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher of all. He used parables in a way to get the message over to those that around him. Well, what about this mustard seed? The mustard seed is one of the tiniest, most insignificant seeds that grows in the Middle East. A fast-growing annual herb, although the seed is very small, grows up to be some 10 feet tall in just a few months. In demonstrating the stock and example of this potential of a small, insignificant seed gives us something to think about. What does this seed have to do with our faith? Why did he use this seed? We need to dig deeper into what Christ is saying here. If you and I have faith enough, all difficulty, this is the explanation of this, use this seed as a analogy. If you and I have faith enough, all difficulties can be solved. Even the hardest task can be accomplished. What was the hardest task in this statement about the mustard seed? Christ said, moving of a mountain. Think of the mountain. That's a hard task. You know, if you move a mountain to do something, that's a hard task. But he is showing us, you know, using an analogy, this little mustard seed, the tiny little thing. It doesn't It doesn't say it's a huge thing. It's a tiny thing. But God is saying to us, Christ is saying to us, a small amount of dedicated faith, brother, can accomplish a lot. And this was what he was trying to get over to the disciples. Disciples that he was talking about. Moving the things that gets in our way. They're big. They're huge. This is what this mountain pictures. Sometimes we think we come up against things in our life that seems huge. This mountain was huge to those disciples there. What he was saying, you have all amount of dedicated faith through prayer, these things will take place for you. I don't know what to try to analyze where their faith was at some time. You know, Peter was walking on the water there, and he had faith, but when he stopped, something happened to him. Then Christ told him to come to him. He was out there on the water, but I don't know what happened to him. He had the faith to start out, but he just kind of dwindled away, so he just sank in the water, and then he started crying out for help. I hope we don't do that. I hope we continue to pray. Lots of people give up when they think their prayers were not heard. This should not be a part of our thinking, brother. How important is our prayers to God? Luke chapter 18. Let's notice one verse here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray, not lose heart. Always pray, not lose heart. What causes us to lose heart? We want to look at four things here briefly that can cause us to lose heart. And number one, the act of being involved with things that are not pleasing to God will cause us to lose heart. Now, what is he saying here? Let's go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 18. Being involved with things that we ought not to be involved with will cause us to lose heart. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's, you know, plainly what this is saying is just being dabbling in the things that weakens our spiritual life. Will cause us to lose heart. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. In this verse 8, I will read from the translation of God's Word. Verse 8 says, I want men to offer prayers everywhere. They should raise their hands in prayer after putting aside their anger and any quarrels they may have with anyone. This is one of the conditions that can cause us to lose heart. Condition number two Satan can cause us to lose heart through distractions, causing the mind to wander. Satan is the master of distraction because he does not want us talking to our Father in heaven. So it may be during the time that you are praying, it would be a good idea to make sure that you're not disturbed. And one of the things that can cause distraction at times in the middle of our prayer is the ringing of a phone. And I find myself having to repent sometimes because of my phone. I feel like picking it up and throwing it out in the trash can because all these telemarketers just burn me to death. But if we're praying, it may be a good idea, if you're bothered with this situation, is to take the phone off the hook and put it back when you finish praying. But at least this is one distraction that you won't have to be involved with. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Christ gives us an outlook on this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in a secret place, and your Father who sees you will reward you openly. Let's notice again in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We will read verse 32 and 33. And when Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. And he went in therefore, and he shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Here we have one of God's prophets here, seeking, prophecy. And he went in to ask God to, and you can read the rest of the story, but God answered his prayers, and the little child was raised up to life again. But he had the privacy there. He went in and just shut the door. Number 3. Third thing, praying to God with doubt will cause us to lose heart. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21 and 22. Chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, if you have faith, do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you also you say to this mountain," here we're talking about a mountain again, a big situation before us, "you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, it will be done." Verse 22, "And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you will receive." Here we have a promise. Here we have a promise of God that whatever we ask in prayer, we will receive it. And if we don't pray according to God's will, then it's easy to feel like that our prayers haven't been heard. We have doubt, other things. Some will say, I have prayed over and over about this situation, about my health. I still have the same problem. This situation calls doubt for some. But there are certain things we must always remember, brethren, when we pray. We should pray, as I said before, to the living God that hears us. Pray according to His will. Why is that? I asked someone that early when I first came into the church. I was talking to a minister and I said, here's what the scripture says here. And he said, well, if God answered your prayer, you may be asking Him to do something that would not be good for you at that moment. What about that? That makes sense. God knows what we need, so we should pray according to God's will. Now, when will this will happen? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So, what it's saying here, some of these people died not receiving the promise. Now we may, just using this is not a very pleasant analogy here, but we may have something, that we have asked God to do, with our healing. Maybe God doesn't heal us right now. But will he heal us? Absolutely. When we come up in the resurrection, whatever the situation that was not taken care of in this life, God will heal you then. God does not break His promises. But we must be patient, because when God does heal us, it is for our good at that time. But these people that we read about here in Hebrews chapter 11, they died in faith without receiving their promises. And it could have been other things other than healing. Healing's not the only thing. We ask for God's mercies in a lot of ways that He doesn't answer our prayers at the moment, because it may not be good for us at that time. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In reading in verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Begin reading in verse 32. Luke 21, verse 32. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away, for all things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down, carousing, drunkenness, fears of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is admonishment here for all of us. Verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. For Christ used the word pray always. Now, different Bible translations use the word always in similar wordings. Some translations say pray at all times. Translations say pray constantly. Some says pray every moment. What Christ is wanting us to understand here, that we should keep in contact with Him always. I like the good news, the e-news rather. At the end of the e-news, you will always see the little column at the bottom saying, stay connected. Why did he say that? Stay connected where? Stay connected to God. Stay connected to each other. Stay connected to the church. Stay connected in prayer for one another. Christ is speaking not only about prayer, but about the frequency of our prayers. How often are we in contact with God during the day? We can pray walking, raking leaves in the yard. Nobody hears us. That's one of the good things. We pray always. Nobody knows. Christ is speaking not only about prayer, but about the frequency of our prayer. We don't know. You know, we don't know what lies ahead for any of us. But what we do know, God will take care of us if we pray and stay close to Him. The Scriptures give us a short story about a man that not only knew the value of prayer, but he knew how much prayer was important to him. But he was willing to give up his life for prayer. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Read this from the NIV translation. Daniel chapter 6, begin reading in verse 1 from the NIV. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. Now, what was a satrap? He was a governor. So King Darius, he appointed 120 of these guys. Let's continue here in verse 2. And with him, there were three administrators over them, one of them whom was Daniel. That trap made a camel to them, so the king might not suffer loss. Now, you remember that, to look a little bit understanding about this, Daniel was brought back out of captivity from Babylon. He was only 12 years old. So the king just took a liking to David. Young man, years went by. He set up this kingdom here with all these governors. And he put David in charge of a lot of things. Let's continue in verse 3. Now Daniel, so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps, by exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds charging charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. So they could find no corrupt in him at all, because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. They, you know, Daniel was doing the things he's supposed to do, and God was with him. Well, let's continue in verse 5. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it was something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O king, live forever." But the royal administration, perfected advisors, and the governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god, or man during the next 30 days, except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue a decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now Daniel, verse 10. Now Daniel, when he learned that the decree had been published, he went home in the upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So this decree did not, you know, it really did not bother him. Get down now to verse 24. And the king commanded the men who, well, let me bring you up to date. What happened here, these men went up to for the king and told him that they had caught, this was spying on him occasionally, but they caught Daniel praying to his God. So they went to the king, verse 24, at the king's command, and they falsely accused Daniel of the situation. So Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And he prayed. God delivered him from the lion's den. And, you know, the king, during the night, he didn't sleep very well. Because it worried him, knowing the man that Daniel was. But when he found out that these men had falsely accused Daniel, he brought them before him. And all of those I don't know how many was involved, but they were thrown into the lion's den, their children with them. Lions, Scripture said the lions crush their bones before they come in contact with the floor. So in this then, verse 25, it said, the king Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. That I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of David, for his God is the living God who endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. So it's just a short story here to get us to see the importance of prayer. And Daniel believed that prayer was so essential that he chose to risk his life rather than lose contact with God. So brethren, we are living in some difficult times. We can abraze with the news. We can see many things that is out there in the world, but as never before, we as a church draw closer to God. When we in God's church, come closer to God, He listens, He will bless us, He will protect us. We have been given answers to the problems of this world. We have the answer. But I guess if we went before the leaders of this world, president of our country and all the presidents and leaders of other countries, told them, we have the answer for this virus. We know that you are developing, the vaccines and everything, but we have the answer. Okay. But they would laugh us to scorn. But if all of our leaders come together, do this one thing. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I know that this would happen. The reason I know is because God's promises are real. The reason I know that God cannot lie. The reason I know God loves repentance. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. This nation needs healing. We need healing bad. But will these leaders, they won't do this. This is what God has given them the opportunity to do. As we conclude for today, we have seen ways in which we can improve our relationship with God through prayer. Four ways that can cause us to lose heart when we pray. Being involved with things that are not pleasing to God. Praying to God with doubt. not praying to God according to His will, being distracted while praying to God. These things cause us to have doubt. Back in the 60s, I'll close with this. Back in the 60s, there was a love song that was written, and I don't know who wrote the song, I just remember it. But the title of the song was, "Where Do We Go From Here?" It was a love song written because it portrayed this couple was having difficulties in their love life. But the lyrics in it was giving information of what they should do. The title said, it reads, "Where Do We Go From Here?" So this lesson is for us as well today. Where do we go from here? Well, scriptures give us the answer. Final scripture, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 and 15. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It is our prayers, our constant relationship with God. This is where we go from here."